Yeah, since you've already done your pre-sermon sermon and your pre-pre-sermon sermon, I think we're ready. We don't want a triple baked potato. What? Yeah. Okay. A physics professor at Johns Hopkins University, Henry Rowland, he was a very quiet, humble man who was very unassuming. You know, that was his demeanor. And one day he was called to be an expert witness in court. And so he placed his left hand on the Bible and raised his right hand. And he said, you know, he swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help him God. During the cross-examination, a lawyer demanded of him, what are your qualifications as an expert witness in this case? Rowland replied, I am the greatest living expert on the subject under discussion. Later, a friend who knew Rowland well and had been in court that day expressed surprise at the professor's uncharacteristic answer. The professor said, oh, what it was did you expect me to do? I was under oath. Well, does God always tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? What does he swear by? He has to, yeah. Hebrews 6:13 says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear to, he swore to the promise by himself. By himself. He swore by himself because he was the greatest standard that existed out there. Truth is all of the reality of God that becomes this standard by which we measure all of our life by. Truth. We better be happy that there's truth. I mean, truth is good news, isn't it? I remember two musicians. One was a teacher of music, and the other one came by, and he said, what's the good news today? And he picked up a tuning fork. Anybody know what that is? You go, bing, and you tune your instrument. In the old days, we had tuning forks. He said, today the good news is A. Ding. He said, why is that good news? He said, well, this was A yesterday. It's A today, and it will be A tomorrow. He said, that's the good news. There are some things in life that were good to begin with, and they're going to just go on being good. And it's everything connected to God, and this is what we call truth. It technically is the word reality. Over and over again, Jesus would say, I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth. After a while, you're reading your Bible, and you just blow over that line because he says it all the time. I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Truth here means reality. Grace here means ability. The word glory here means magnificent reputation. So Jesus shows up with reality, ability, and a magnificent reputation. Why does it say that Jesus was full of truth? Anybody ever known anybody that has half-truths? How trustworthy are they, the half-truth people, you know? What if God was a half-truth God? What if people walk around? In fact, they do, don't they? They say, well, you never know about God. That's a terrible thing to say, by the way. A terrible thing to say. You just never know about God. What they mean is you just never know whether he's going to come through or not. What an awful thing to say about someone. If somebody said that about you, you'd think that's terrible. Why did they say that about me? Half-truths don't work very well, right? There were these two brothers, and they were going to dye Easter eggs at Easter, and they're getting everything ready. They got all the dye bowls and everything. They bring out the raw eggs, and the older brother says to the younger brother, I'll give you $5 if you'll let me crack 3 raw eggs over your head. And he wanted $5. And he thought, okay, I guess. And so the brother cracked 1 raw egg over his head, cracked another raw egg over his head. And the kid's got his eye closed, and he's waiting for the 3rd raw egg. He says, well, you going to do the 3rd raw egg? He said, no, because then the 3rd one would cost me $5. That's a half truth, right? I'll give you $5 if you let me crack 3. Oh my. John 4:23, and we are talking about worship this morning. And worship is huge because the presence of God enters in on worship. You can't have worship to God before, and he makes himself so known. It says that true worshipers, now listen to that phrase, true worshipers. Why would they have to use the word true there? Because a lot of people worship a lot of stuff, right? Apparently, there's a category that God knows about called a true worshiper. It's a separate category. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. There's that word again. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. Just where are we supposed to get this truth if we're supposed to use it to worship God with? Apparently, we're supposed to use this truth in our worship. If we came in and they say, we wrote a new song, one of our people in our band wrote a new song, and you go, what are the words? And you go, the words are la, 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 la. You got more words? No, just la, la. That's it. We're just going to la, 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 la. What's it mean? La. Look up the word la, you know. And you go, I don't know if I can really connect with that song. It's nice to listen to maybe, but what we need is words, right? What would be the song without the words? John 17:17 says, thy word, meaning God's word, is truth. You want to know what truth is? It's God's words. That means if you're going to worship him as true worshipers, you've got to use God words. You've got to use words of God. How functional do you think we'd be without the Bible? We show up to church and there are no Bibles. There never was a Bible. We had this youth retreat one time, a weekend youth retreat. Remember that one? Were you at that one? Yeah. And it was over in Fontana. And we called it an end times retreat. And early in the process, we had a gentleman come in with a uniform on, and he was rather gruff and rough, and he ordered everybody to give them their Bibles. He walked in with a basket and took all the Bibles out. We had it set up so it's somebody they didn't know, somebody with authority with the uniform came in, and some of them were mad. Some of the kids, they couldn't figure it out. They were just slamming their Bible in the basket. And he collected all the Bibles and took off with them. So we had this weekend teen event revival with zero Bibles. And we sat down and we said, okay, nobody has a Bible. There's no Bibles in this church, in this room. Nobody has one. Everybody sit down. First thing we're going to do is put together a Bible. Everybody write down the verses that they know. Because that's all the Bible we had. By the time everybody was done writing down every verse that they could remember, we were limited to that. Isn't that interesting? I discovered that I didn't know as many Bible verses as I thought I knew. Because almost all the Bible verses that I hear, I'm familiar with, but I couldn't sit down there and write them down on paper. And I thought, wow, if I didn't have a Bible, what am I going to base my faith on? It really was an eye-opener to function with just the Word of God you had in you. John 3:21 says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Now, in other words, whoever lives by the word of God receives more and more understanding and revelation of what this whole deal is about. I think we should want to be true worshipers, right? People worship everything. You wonder, well, the world, they worship everything. Why? You are designed to worship. God custom made each one of us as a worshiper, and if there's nothing to worship in God, if somebody doesn't know God, they wind up worshiping relationships, heroes, Hollywood, sports, money, careers, themselves. But they do worship something. Everybody worships. A lot of people worship a lot of stuff. A lot of religious people look like they're worshiping, but are they true worshipers? When you see these other religions around the world, and they're all thousands of them gathered here, and all of these are about, and you realize they're not worshiping our God. Are they a true worshiper of our God? No. They're a true worshiper of nothing. I mean, the whole idea today is to say, well, all gods lead to the same place. They don't. There's one Bible verse loosely interpreted. God says, there are no other gods. I looked. I mean, that's a loose interpretation of it. He basically said, I'm the only one, but in paraphrase, it means I searched and I've not been able to locate any other gods other than me. I'm only the only God. And you think, well, of course, he knows everything. He'd know. Yeah, but a lot of religious people, they're not true worshipers. Thy word is truth. A true worshiper would have to be somebody that believes God's words. What about somebody that doesn't believe God's words? Would they even qualify as a true worshiper? What if we put the words up on the screen and we're singing it and it comes right out of the Bible and somebody's back there going, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I'm singing it, but I don't believe that. Would that be a true worshiper? No, not at all. What would a false worshiper be like then? It'd be somebody that is not connected to God's words. They don't believe them. Every time God gave us one of his 365 names that I know of, he might have 1,000 names, but every time he gave us one of his 365 names that are in the Bible, he told us about himself, some attribute about himself. He said, this is who I am, and then he'd give that name. God told us one of his names was Savior. What does that mean? What do you mean, your Savior? Well, who needs saving? God doesn't need saving. The Savior is his name that's directed to us. We need saving. Now, the name for Savior, anybody heard of the name Jesus? Duh. Jesus is the same name as Joshua, except Jesus is the Greek form and Joshua is the Hebrew form. If you know anybody named Josh or Joshua, their name is Jesus. Now, anybody ever heard of the word Yeshua? Yeshua is Joshua. Joshua is Yeshua. We honor and serve Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus. All the same identical name. It means the Savior or the one who saves. It's one of God's names is the Savior, Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus. Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Apparently, we need saving. Apparently, left to our own, we won't be saved. We'll hit an expiration date. Have you found yours? The name Lord basically means the one who gets to make the rules. I don't want to be a false worshiper. I don't want to stand before God and half believe it. Because I don't think that'd be a true worshiper if I'm walking around going, you know, I only half believe that stuff. Who wants to die, go to heaven, and God say, oh, I was just joking about that salvation stuff. Go to hell. And you're going, what? No, no. And you go, no, it was just a big joke. We were just, I mean, partly was true, but No, we want to go to heaven and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. My house, your house. Come on in. Right? Yeah. Nobody wants to think that God would be half-truth God or telling a big cosmic joke. We're not a cosmic joke. God never lies. Should we believe him? He never lies. When a child or a teenager lies, why do they lie? To avoid punishment, maybe? Maybe to get something that they really don't receive. They haven't earned it yet, so they want to get this reward. So they'll say, I cleaned my bedroom. Or I did the garage, I did whatever. Or they might maybe embellish a story because they don't think that in and of itself it's a strong enough story, so they'll lie about it. They fear what would happen if they stick to the truth, right? They're afraid. Why would a grown-up lie? Anybody ever known a grown-up to lie? Yep, I have lied as a grown-up. I lied. Yep. When Pastor Shelley and I got married, I had not given up drinking. And she'd given up all, you know, the stuff of the world. She said, this is my wedding gift to you and my sobriety. And what am I supposed to say? Oh, okay, well, I'll give mine to you. It sounded like it was something I should do. So I didn't stop drinking for the first 3 years of our marriage, but I did it in such a way that when I was away from home, I could clean up and kind of fool everybody and come back into her life. So the first 3 years of marriage, I worked for the state government, and I was always at training somewhere else, and I continued drinking. Well, then when I was 28 years old, and it was, 1980, maybe, yeah, Levi was born that year, I decided that I was done drinking. And I thought, you know what? I slid on that one because Pastor Shelley didn't know that I was lying to her for 3 years. She didn't know. I just kind of slid through that one. So years later, we get the applications for Bible school. And we're filling them out together. And you reach a point, when was your last cigarette? When was the last time you took drugs? When's the last time you drank any alcohol? And Shelly's looking over on my paper. I'm like, pick your arm up. Like, do your own paper, you know? And I thought, great. I can't put down a false date on an application, go to Bible school. I thought I cleared all my lies. Back then, a couple years later, I'm thinking, what do I do? I got to be honest. And so I had to stop and I'd say, Shelley, remember when I told you this? It wasn't true. I quit when I was 28 years old. And then I could finish the application to go to Bible school. So I lied as an adult and thought I got away with it, and it didn't work. But why do people lie? Because the same reason. If a spouse lies is because they fear what the truth is. What losses would happen? Who could possibly be above God that he would ever fear? Nobody, right? Nobody. I mean, the kid underneath the parents or the spouse or whatever, they're concerned about what the other person might do or say or what losses might occur. Who's above God? People wonder, I can't believe that God never lies. How can he do that? The answer is there's nobody above him. Who's he trying to impress or fool above him? Nobody. What part of his reputation would he like to embellish to make it sound better? Are you kidding me? The one who's maxed out on love, maxed out on holiness, maxed out on righteousness, maxed out in every... I don't even think the word maxed is a good one. What if it's infinite? What if there is no maximum? What if it's limitless love? And limitless holiness and limitless. How could he, the one who's the greatest of the great, that only good is his starting spot, embellish anything about himself? If he just told us the truth about himself, it's like, whoa. There'd be no reason for him to lie. You see, the thing about people is they're concerned about a fear or loss. God's not got anybody above him, nor does he need to embellish anything. He can't get better than he already is. If God can't lie, and we as true worshipers believe his word, then we got to start believing more stuff. For example, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the righteous God. True worshipers believe that God is always right. People get tired of God being right all the time, but God's right all the time. People get tired of that. And all he's doing is calling us to rightness. He wants us to get our life right. That's what righteousness is. He says, I'm the God of rightness. True worshipers believe that. False worshipers don't. Jehovah Nissi, the God whose family flag or banner that we live under. True worshipers don't believe that. Oh, everybody's part of the same universal family. Coexist. Although they like to drop true Christians off. They don't want them. How about this one? Jehovah Rapha. Anybody know what that one is? The healer. I'm the God who heals you. Now, half the body of Christ are false worshipers in this area. Half the body of Christ running around. Oh, it ended with the apostles, don't you know? It's not for today. Sometimes God says no. Did you find that in the scripture? Sometimes God says no. Remember that? That scripture, God says no. Look up the word no. It's not there. Yeah, it's not a scripture. And yet, these people couldn't be true worshipers. God says, this is who I am. This is what I do. And they go, well, I don't believe that. Are they a true worshiper? Listen, if it's the will of God that you be sick, don't try to get out of the will of God by getting better. Try to be more in the will of God by getting sicker. Please. Don't do or take anything to make yourself better if it's the will of God that you, well, I don't know what God's doing, but he's doing something. What if it wasn't him? What if he's the good guy? What if he's trying to help you? Half the body, false worshipers in that area. False worshipers. Remember the term true worshipers. What would be a false worshiper? Somebody that denies the words of God because thy word is truth. How about, God is so fantastic. People have difficulty, and he'll tell you something, and it sounds so impossible that you just blow right past it. There was this lady, there was a circus in town, and the weird thing was they had this one elephant that liked to sit on red cars. And so if you got in the parking lot, you parked a red car, that elephant would get over there and sit on the trunk or the hood. And she had a red station wagon, and she pulled up, and she was late, and the elephant went over and sat on the hood of her car, and it smashed it in. The car still ran. And so she left the circus, and she's driving down the road, and right in front of her, there's a car accident with two cars. And she's right, the next one right there, the next one in line. And they call the police and rescue squad, They're getting the people out of the car and take them to the hospital, the two cars. And the police look up and they see this red station wagon and a lady in it, and it's all smashed. And they go running back there. And they go, are you okay? Are you okay? Oh, she said, oh, I wasn't involved in the accident. An elephant sat in my car. And they took her to the hospital anyway. I mean, but it was true that the elephant, it just seemed impossible. And God will tell you stuff that is so true, and the world will say, that can't be true. That can't be true. But it is. You tell them about a miracle, they'll be miracle deniers. They did that around Christ. He did miracles, and they walk away from there going, I don't know how he did it. It was a trick. Yeah, did you see him grow that arm out? I don't know how he did that one. Freak you out, huh? Man, oh, man, we had some friends of ours that we used to support them for years and years in Latvia before they came to the United States, and they were over in Janesville at a church and they were having a praying for people, and there was a heavy-set lady that had a hip problem, and you could tell probably that, okay, she's having a problem with that hip, and she's coming up, and Ed didn't want to lay his hands on the lady's hip, you know? So Jody came over and laid hands on the lady's hip, and then Ed put his hand on her hand and started praying. Well, the lady starts shouting, and you think, wow, she's really getting something. She's yelling, "My thumb, my thumb." But she didn't have a thumb. They're praying for her hip. She's yelling, "My thumb, my thumb," and as they're praying for her, the thumb grows out. Happened in Janesville. The thumb, including a thumbnail. Well, yeah. But, yeah, a thumb grew out while they're praying for her hip. Sounds impossible, doesn't it? But stretch forth your arm. I can't. Well, he did. Now, that's a creative miracle, but some things of God sound impossible, but do we serve the God of the impossible? Oh, we sure do. So half the church, they don't like the name of God when he calls himself Jehovah Jireh. Who's that? The one who provides. Provision. Pro means before. Vision means to see before. If God is the provider and you have provision, it said God sees what you need before and makes sure that it's there as you live into it. If you reject God, some people say, well, don't you know poverty is next to godliness? And other people will correct them. No, that's cleanliness is next to God. Neither one of them's a Bible verse. Neither cleanliness nor poverty. Poverty is a curse. And what if they reject God in the area of provision? Are they a true worshiper standing there going, well, I don't believe that, and I don't believe that, and I don't believe that? The Greek word in the Bible for faith is spelled P-I-S-T-I-S. I don't even know how to pronounce that one. But it's also the noun form of the word believe. The word faith is also the noun form of the word believe. In other words, you could swap them out. They're virtually interchangeable. They're not they are the identical word in the noun form. Faith and belief are the same one. Well, what about a Christian who says, well, I have faith, I just don't believe in all that healing stuff or all that provision stuff or all the gifts of the Spirit stuff or tongues or all that miracle stuff. I just don't believe in all of that stuff. Well, why don't we just tear out all those pages out of the Bible that you don't like? We'll get them right. Why don't we just get rid of everything you don't like? We'll just put the Bible on a postcard for you. Anybody under 30 know what a postcard is? We'll text it to you. Well, just put your Bible on a text. Postcard. What's a post? What if we just gave you the Bible that you believe in? How fat would your Bible be? Tear out all the pages. Remove all the verses that you don't believe. I think we'd have some Christians walking around with some pretty skinny Bibles, right? Are they true worshipers if they don't believe half of what they say? They can't be. They say, well, I believe I'm going to heaven, but I don't believe all that other stuff, the spiritual gift stuff and the miracle stuff and the tongue stuff and the healing stuff and the prosperity stuff. I don't believe all that stuff. Well, it's not stuff. It is God. You can't separate and remove the Word of God from God. Like I said this morning, we have a Bible. The Bible isn't God, but it is the written will of God. If we destroyed all the Bibles in this place, What if we destroyed all the Bibles in the entire world? Is the Word of God still exist? It does. Eternally, because Him and His Word are inseparable. You can't destroy it. You can't take it away. You can't separate God from His own Word. You can't separate His words from truth. Believing and acting on God's truth sets you free. Now, we want to be true worshipers. We don't want to be known in heaven as half true worshipers. What's your reputation in heaven worth? The Holy Spirit spoke up to me one time and said, if you don't start getting more people born again, your name in heaven is going to be Harvest Pointless instead of Harvest Point. I understood that. Duh. Well, you can come up a notch this morning. How? Because we want to be true worshipers. We want to be true worshipers. How do you do that? The parts of the Bible that you haven't believed, you believe. The names of God that you haven't believed, you start believing. Is He Jehovah Rapha? Is He Jehovah Jireh? If He is all that stuff. You cannot pick and choose and say, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I don't like that name. I don't like that name. I'll pick that name. You know, we'll dump that name. It's all of them. I had this one guy I was counseling for 2 years, and then he suicided. Brilliant man. Master's degree. He was a youth counselor, a social worker. Had a beautiful wife. He had a house on the lake, on the waterfront property in his boat, and we often went out on his boat. I remember one day he took us out on his boat, and he stopped. He shut off the motor, and he turns around. We got our fishing poles there, and he says, your responsibility is to make sure I don't kill myself. I said, I'm not accepting that responsibility. That's not on me. I was trying to figure out what's wrong with this guy, because beautiful wife, beautiful home, educated. I said, what is wrong with you? He said, well, I grew up in a family. I can't remember how many kids they had. It was something like, I remember they had 8 kids, and then he was the next. He was the 9th. The parents decided that they could handle 8, but 9 was too much. So they decided, well, let's sort through our kids and pick one and get rid of one of them. They said, well, you know what? The baby, he's got the least memory. Let's get rid of the baby. So they put the baby up for adoption, kept the other 8 kids, and they said, you know what? 9 is too much. 8 is just about right. Let's toss a kid. Let's get rid of one of the kids. And that was him. And so he grew up thinking, something's wrong with me, something's wrong with me, something's wrong with me. And I said, so they got rid of you. What does that say about you? He said that there's something wrong with me. I said, what? I said, your parents were defective. Nobody sorts through their kids and tosses one. I mean, even if you got a problem kid, it's temporary. Nobody does that. And he could not come to terms with the idea that you pick through and you pick one and you toss one, that wasn't just nuts. I said, your parents, there's something wrong with them. And he never could bring himself to understand or believe that there was something wrong with them. And his fantasy thinking, they were fine and he was defective. It never was. And we go sort through and toss one. Well, people do that with God. They sort through with all of His names, and they pick through the ones. Oh, I like that. I don't like that one. Oh, I'm not going to believe that one. I've got to, you know, I'm going to believe I'm saved. Those, that other stuff, I don't know. Sort through and toss the person of God in the name that He's revealed Himself. That'd be a half worshiper, a half truth person, a half true. And we want to be true worshipers. That means we have to believe God when he says it, even if it looks impossible, even if it looks beyond belief. We kick it up a notch. We receive it as truth. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. You want to live at another level? Then you start believing God in everything he says he is. You receive him as that, and he'll become that to you in every area. Then you'll be a true worshiper, because there's a lot of people that aren't true worshipers, but you can be there. You can get to that level to where you're a true worshiper. What does a true worship do? I believe God no matter what. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what anybody says or does. I believe God no matter what. Yeah, but what if everything caves in and it goes bad? Doesn't matter. It wasn't God. God's good. I believe God no matter what. I'm a true worshiper. I say, God, I believe everything about you. I can't see it. I can't prove it. I just simply believe it. Hallelujah. Praise God. It'll take you to another level. You'll be in heaven. They'll call you a true worshiper. There's a true worshiper right there. They'll say, there's another true worshiper right there. They believe God all the time, no matter what. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the God of truth. You told us the truth, and you're right all the time. We declare your word to be true and active and working in our lives. We act on those words. We are your true worshipers. Lord, we commit to your word. We receive it. We believe it to your glory forever. And God, I thank you for the provision downstairs of the food that's set out. Bless all the hands that make it and serve it. Lord, we do declare that it's blessed to our bodies to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless God. Hallelujah. Well, downstairs, here's the, it's prayed when the ladies are ready to go, and I'm pretty sure they are. Just whoever's the hungriest, hit it. Praise God.
Well, I got myself a t-shirt. It says what I believe. I got letters on my bracelet.